Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
By the way, 1 week from tonight, Dave Strobel, who is the who is a church planter with the North America Mission Board, will be here to speak. He is in a community of 750,000 people in Toronto. And he has the only, this is what I've been told, the only evangelical church in that 750,000 group population of people in Toronto. And our Florida Baptist Convention has a new partnership with Toronto, and we have an opportunity to make a difference and to even send some teams to help Dave up there. So I want you to know that he's coming a week from tonight. And I really encourage you to invite somebody to be here with you so that a good portion of our church will be able to hear Dave, and that will be very, very special. Okay, you have our lesson guide there. These are some of the topics we've studied, but I'm going to get right into our topic tonight, promises concerning patience. I want you to look, open up your Bible there to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, Galatians 5, 22. And I want to tell you about a guy who was so frustrated because I heard this story on James Dobson's broadcast years ago. This guy would get ready for church, and he was always early. You know, the Lord puts opposites together. And, man, he was, you know, on time was 20 minutes early. That's just on time. I mean, if he got there at 10 till, man, he was late. He was rushing around, and, I mean, he was mad about it. And so, anyway, so every Sunday morning, he said it was the same story. He'd get ready. He'd be ready to roll. He'd go out in the car. Can you relate? He'd go out in the car, and he'd sit there and wait on his wife. And then he'd get in there and he said, man, my blood pressure started going up. And he'd honk the horn. He'd just, you know, boop, boop. Nothing. You know, a little bit louder, you know. Maybe she didn't hear it, you know. Anyway, pressure, I mean, you know, blood pressure just by the end of it, getting out of the car, going in the house. And he said this was just a repeating story every week. You know, honk, honk, going in, finally going, what are you doing? We're going to be late. We're going to be late. And so there'd be all this tension. And man, they're in the car and he's driving to church to worship the Lord. And he's driving to church and he just, you know, and he said, I'll tell you, it's just every week. I just can't believe it. It's every week, you know. And she's mad at him. Well, if you'd help me with the kids, then we could maybe get out of here on time. You just get yourself ready. So they get here and they get out of the parking lot and the Joneses say, how y'all doing? We're great. How are y'all today? You know, they're... Well, the guy tells a story that the Holy Spirit got a hold of his heart. And he said, you know, I think the Lord's trying to teach me patience. And so he began to pray, and instead of getting in the car and letting it all get to him, he got in the car and started talking to the Lord, and he didn't honk, he didn't say a word. And he said, and the story goes, he said his wife started coming out earlier. And all of a sudden, they started being on time. And the Lord just knocked him in the head and said, you know what, dummy? If you had learned patience earlier, she'd have gotten there on time way back when. I was using her to teach you. The Lord gives us some promises about patience. You know, do you know that patience is a part of the fruit of the Spirit? The closer you get to the Lord Jesus, the more of his character that you have in your life. And look what it says in verse 22, Galatians 5:22. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, in my version, it says long-suffering, but that is the same word for patience. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, verse 23, against such there is no law. So the closer you get to the Lord, the more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that you have, you will have patience. And this word for long-suffering is self-restraint of the mind. In other words, there's a battle for patience in your mind, but as you grow closer to the Lord, then the fruit of the Spirit will yield the patience that you need in your life, all right? Now, go back to one of my favorite passages in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Because in Isaiah 40, 31, it says this, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God will give them long suffering, but who's he give it to? Those who wait on the Lord. So number two, there's a link, and I ran out of space, so I shortened my statement. But what I mean in number two is there's a link with patience and waiting on the Lord. Now let me tell you about this word, they that wait upon the Lord. I think I may have shared this with you in another context, but you may want to circle that word wait. What that word means, they that wait upon the Lord, the word wait means to bind together, because you ask, okay, yeah, I want to wait on the Lord. What does that mean? Well, it's like a tapestry. It's like there's threads. Are you ready for this? There's threads from you and there's threads from God. And it means to bind or to spin together. And they that wait upon the Lord is like they link their life up with God's word. They link their life up with the principles of God. Those that do that will have strength and patience. So there's a direct correlation with the way your life is linked up with the word of God and the amount of patience and long suffering that you have. In Psalm chapter 27, it gives a little bit of a different flavor to that word. Let me go to Psalm 27. They're faster on the computer than I am looking in my Bible. But you find it or look up on the screen. Psalm 27:14. I'm sorry, you can't get there if I don't give you the whole reference. Psalm 27, oh, you already had it, okay. Sorry about that. You got the page, don't you? Okay. Psalm 27:14 says this, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Now, I want to tell you this. A little bit of a different flavor to this word wait. It does mean to whirl or to spin. The same thing like you would take a cord and bind it together, Byron. You got to check me on some of this Hebrew, brother. But he's an Old Testament scholar. Every time I go to the Old Testament, I think about Byron. You're making me nervous, Byron, because Byron knows Hebrew. But anyway, it means to spin together. As a matter of fact, one source that I read says it means to twirl, and sometimes it even says to dance. You know what I thought about? I thought about teaching and learning this myself. This blessed me. And teaching our young people and teaching all of our people. You know how you're going to have endurance in this world? You're going to dance with God. I don't mean that disrespectful in any way. You are twirling with Almighty God. And when you do that, God will give you the patience and the endurance that you need. Now, there's some New Testament words that get into some things that give another flavor to what it means to endure. But to me, that's the aha moment for me in this Bible study. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In other words, you can make it in this world in difficulty. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. When you're going through difficulty, and we all do, right? You're just doing a, I was going to demonstrate it, but I'm not going to do it for you. Anyway, you're doing a twirl with the Lord. You're dancing with God, and that's how you're able to make it. I don't know. I just love that. Number three, be patient. Go to Psalm. You're already in Psalm. Go to Psalm 37, verse 7. Psalm 37, 7 says this, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way." Talking about evil men. "Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass." In other words, don't fret because of him. And here's the link here. Look at this. Number three, be patient. God will right all wrongs. Now, let's face it. Sometimes we get impatient because it is difficult. Can I tell you this? The older I get, the longer I have been a Christian, the more I realize we're not immune to difficulties. Amen. I've seen it too much, you know. I mean, when I was first got saved, I'm like, man, I'm on top of the world. I got my whole life ahead of me, and I still feel that way in my heart. I just know this old body's not agreeing with everything I want to do. But anyway, but the point is, I've seen some tragedies. I've seen difficulty. I've seen trouble. And sometimes you look around and you see those who do not honor the Lord in their life, and it looks like all is going well. Well, this is one of the great themes of Psalms, and one of the great themes of the Scripture is this. You ready for this? God Almighty is the judge. Amen. He will right all wrongs. He's going to make it right. Now, we're going to talk about some things down in number 7 that's going to amplify that. But he will right all wrongs. And go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 37. It says, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." Verse 36, "For you have need of endurance." Okay, we do. We have need of endurance or patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And then in verse 37, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry." Folks, you know what? Our message is, rather than turning around and judging the lost world, to be honest with you, if we did that, we could spend all of our time doing that. Because we're in a messed up world, are we not? But you know what our job is? Instead of doing that, we leave that to the Lord. He's coming again to handle that. We turn around this way and we run hard after getting the gospel to people. That's what we do. We run hard after living for Jesus ourselves and growing in Christ ourselves and letting our lives count to get the gospel going forward. So this is one way, this is a promise that God has given us. He's promised us, look, I'm going to set all these things right. Don't spin your wheels worrying about this. God is going to make all things right. All right, now, Hebrews chapter 12, a great passage of Scripture, and we get a great promise from this. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, I said verse 2 as well. Can I tell you this? We have others. Number 4, we have others encouraging us to be patient, to endure. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," that gives the picture of a stadium. I went online to look at tickets at Florida Field. I went online. Some buddies of mine that I was roommates with at UF years ago called me the other day from Jacksonville. They said, "We got 4 tickets to the South Carolina-Florida basketball game, the one that just happened a week ago." They said, "3 of us are coming. We want you to go." Well, Kelly was gone. I called Jerry. I said, "You're on your own, buddy. I'm going to the game." And so I went to that game. Man, I got in that new stadium. They've done all that. Well, I went online and I looked at that stadium. They've got every seat in that thing is a great view of that basketball court. And man, I went and I got so inspired. I went and looked at the virtual tour of Florida Field, you know. I guess it's Steve Spurrier Field at Florida Field or something. But anyway, I went and looked at that. Can I tell you this? We're in a stadium. There are others that have gone before you that are cheering you on. "Wherefore, seeing that we are encompassed like in a stadium with a great cloud of witnesses, Now, we're not sure, I'm not totally sure whether they see us in the same way, but the point is we are in the stadium. We know others have gone before us. That's the picture. Others have gone before us. Hey, look, you've got it tough. Now, listen, don't take this wrong. You've got it tough, I know, but hey, bow up. Others have had it tough. Amen. Now, I say that tenderly. It's easy to say that when things are going your way and it seems like everything's okay. I had a pastor one time said this, you're either leaving trouble, you're in trouble, or you're headed into trouble. Trouble goes with life, doesn't it? But can I say this? Can this promise encourage us to know that others have gone before us and they have endured? They ran with patience. I mean, go back and read in Hebrews, and those that were martyred, those that were some sawn in half for the gospel's sake. And so, you know, this is encouraging to us. So we have others. The promise is that we have others encouraging us, all right? Now, the same kind of concept, Romans 15, verse 4, says this, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience, there it is, the patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Verse 5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. And so here's the point there in number 5. Lessons from Scripture give strength to be patient. Think about Robert mentioned Job. Great example. That song is a great example. Why do we love to sing the great hymns? Why do we love to sing these choruses about Jesus? Because they remind us of lessons that we've learned from Scripture that give us strength to be patient. I'm running out of time. And by the way, all the words for endurance and patience from number 3 on my sheet all the way down to number 6 are all the same word, and it means to stay under. It's like you got a load on you. And God is saying you're under load, and you're to stay under it. It's like it's on your back, and you're to stay under it, the scripture says. And these are the promises he gives us that help us to stay under it. Now, it's easy to, if we have the choice, we want to run from those pressures, right? But the truth is, the word tribulation in the Bible means to put pressure on the grape. You could not get the juice, the grape juice. You could not get the wine unless there was pressure put on the grape. And can I tell you this? You can't get some things that God's trying to build into you unless you're under pressure. And that patience is the endurance that you need to remain under it, that God may form in you what he is to form. In James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, look at that passage. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says this, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That's that tribulation. Produces patience, or allows you to stay under it. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So number 6 is this, pressure makes patience and complete character. You would not be who you are without the pressure you've been under. I saw something the other day. Actually, Kelly saw this on a clip and sent it to me, and I looked at it yesterday. And it was ways that, and I've been guilty of this in some ways that parents handicap their children. They don't let them fail. I'm getting amens back here from Marsan, who's a school teacher. Don't let them fail. Writing papers for them, doing stuff, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and they don't let them fail because the failure bows them up to be able to go to something bigger. It's like that story I told the kids. Kids, y'all remember the story about the little boy who saw the caterpillar, and he knew that the caterpillar was going to spin a cocoon. This is an amazing process. He spins a cocoon, and the little boy said, "Wow, this is so neat. If I watch this, I'm even going to tear off the twig and put it in a special place in my room so I can watch this caterpillar become a butterfly." And so he was watching it. He was watching that cocoon, and finally he saw it kind of vibrating a little bit. Well, that caterpillar, that butterfly, is trying to bust out of that thing. So you know what the boy did? He said, "Oh, man, he's struggling to do that. Let me help him." So he went and he tore open the cocoon, and so he wouldn't have to, you know, to fight it to get out. So he tore open the cocoon. There was a little butterfly kind of withered there inside that, you know, on his hand. And so he went like that. He said, "Fly, butterfly. Fly, butterfly." And it just kept falling on the ground. And then he told somebody, and they said, "You don't understand. The difficulty of getting out of the cocoon is what gives the butterfly strength in its wings to fly. And if you usurp that, you won't make it." Pressure builds the character in you to become complete. And in James chapter 1, verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And then the last one is James 5, 7, and 8. We'll be done. James 5, 7, and 8 says this: "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the Lord, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Can I tell you this? The Lord is coming again. They say that POWs, especially American POWs, they could make it in the POW camps because they knew one thing. They said, "The Americans will come get me. They will come and get me." And so they hung in there, many of them, hung in there in terrible circumstances because they knew that the American soldier was going to come and get them out of that POW camp. Well, can I tell you this? One of the promises God gives us that helps us make it under pressure and have patience now is Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says this: "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." This gets back to that part about the Lord is the judge. Let me tell you this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. Some people say, "Oh, the Lord's never going to make things right. The Lord's not fixing this problem right now. Look at this wicked world. Look at what's going on." It says, make no mistake, Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And then you can continue reading that. He's encouraging the Christians to hang in there, and he's saying this: the Lord is not slack. Believe me. By the way, I can promise you this: the Lord God Almighty is a righteous judge. He will correct even to the creation. Do you know that even the creation groans for the coming of God? Well, some of us do. We do too, because when you're in difficulty, you say, "Lord, just come quickly. Just come." Well, he says, "Look, I'm waiting patiently because I want one more person to be saved." But I'm telling you, when the last one is converted, when he comes again, he will right all wrongs. So what are we to do? We're to hang on. We are to hang on. So that's our promise. The Lord is coming again, all right? Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.